Time for us to get into our well-being conversation, and it is World Health Day, and we came across an interesting article on the importance of an integrated approach in addressing mental health issues. As we know, mental health care remains quite important, often very, very poorly resourced, particularly in a country like South Africa, and so it remains quite a big challenge on how we're able to support and provide care for people with mental health care issues. But there's been an interesting opinion piece that's an article that's been written by Dr. Alex Plowright. They are the head of community health and well-being at Anglo American. And Dr. Plowright joins us this morning to tell us a little bit more about how he thinks we can better provide care in the mental health care space. Dr. Plowright, a very good morning to you. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for your time. So in your article, Doctor, you talk about, you know, it's not uncommon for us to hear about some of the challenges that we face with regards to accessing mental health care. Tell us about some of those challenges, particularly in the South African context.
Absolutely. So like you say, we always hear a lot about the problems, you know. Mental health care is very much underfunded. There's an understanding or lack of understanding about what is actually involved. So people tend to think, you know, policymakers, decision makers, people tend to think that it's really about providing these high-cost clinical solutions for people who are very much in need of high-impact intervention from a clinical perspective and not about prevention and health promotion. And also, it's about accessibility. You know, because of the high cost, there's nothing made available. And then finally, it's also because of health-seeking behavior. People are very, very reluctant to firstly acknowledge, secondly to act when they believe that something might be wrong, and thirdly, they then don't know where to go, because nothing is advertised, or if it is, then it is very, very poorly advertised. Mm. And then you couple that again with sort of a belief system, which is again back to the recognition and understanding of what might be the cause of how you're feeling and not really acknowledging what this is all about.
And so you also mentioned, you know, one of the big challenges is health-seeking behavior. We saw during 2020, 2021, the concern from the National Department of Health that men weren't seeking out vaccines in the way that women were. Part of why we introduced the test and treat for HIV now is particularly men who are in intergenerational relationships weren't seeking out sexual and reproductive health care screening. And so when that happens, how does that hamper efforts to ensure universal access to healthcare?
Absolutely. So we have to look at our care environment. And to be very, very honest, it's not always geared up to be enabling for men. If you look at the cultural connotations associated with masculinity and seeming weak, right? So if a man needs to actually receive some sort of care, then the likelihood of him going is far lower than women because of these cultural associations and connotations around what a man is and about masculinity. You couple that again with sort of the experience that they receive, which is not always enabling, and that means that men tend to drop off a little bit more frequently than women if we look at kind of access to care and the cascades of care. But as we know, health is a system, and health seeking behavior of men impacts women, impacts girls, as you rightly alluded to. There's an issue with intergenerational relationships and the symbiotic nature of seeking treatment and controlling various diseases. If one cog in the wheel falls off in that regard, then it can have an impact on everybody's health at population level, relational level, household level, and beyond.
And you also write, Doctor, that it's not just about, so often when we think about healthcare and access to it, we think about the building. So either the clinic, the hospital, and often the people who staff it, so nurses, doctors, all of the people who then are crucial to then provide the care. But in your piece, you say that it's not just about the clinic. The building itself is just one part of, like you were just saying, healthcare is a system. What does that mean when we say it's not just about the clinic or the hospital?
Absolutely. So you know, there's a very, very linear understanding of what health is. You know, you get sick, you go and receive treatment in the clinic. If you need further treatment, you're then referred to maybe a hospital or a specialist. But actually, there's all of these forces on an individual that influence their health-seeking behavior and also provide, in the same sense, an opportunity for care to be provided to them. And this is from the perspective of kind of prevention or health promotion. So if you think about a community, there's all sorts of groups, there's networks, there's community-based organizations, there are churches, there are traditional healers, there are traditional medicine kind of providers, all of that in one community. There are groups, and each of these groups will have individuals who participate in activities, who conform to the beliefs, who really engage with their peers in these areas in community settings. All of these spaces, all of these places, all of these organizations provide an opportunity to offer multi-layer messaging, and also in some cases, if provided with appropriate training, interventions that can really be about health issue prevention, that can be about health promotion, that can be about information, social behavior change. And if everybody sort of takes their responsibility as a potential actor in an individual's health within the community setting, then that takes the pressure off the facilities in many respects, because you have generally more of an opportunity for a community to be healthier. But at the same time, there's a really, really good opportunity for bi-directional referral. So maybe somebody in a church notices that somebody in their congregation isn't feeling quite right. They can use the power that they have within their knowledge system to support that individual to go and seek clinical care in a facility. Likewise, if somebody in a facility notices the same, but can see that it's not quite in need of a clinical intervention, if they have a referral pathway set up with community-based organizations that provide non-medicalized care and health promotion activities, then that person can be well supported. And in the integrated mental health space, that's where you get the biggest bang for your buck, because it's about health promotion, it's about preventative care, it's about intervening before the issues get too large and overcome the individual from a health perspective.
We often hear, with regards to specifically mental health care, about the very, very limited resources of medical healthcare professionals. So people like psychiatrists, psychologists, I think I don't have the numbers on hand, but every time those numbers come out, we get told there's only a couple of hundred of those professionals at any given time serving a country as large as South Africa. And so how does this integrated community approach assist with those resource challenges where we don't have currently the number of professionals required to service everyone needing care?
Absolutely. So again, it goes back to kind of this concept of catching the issues before they get too acute and needing the very highly specialized services, often inpatient services of psychiatrists and the like. If you have informed clinical cadres in community care settings, so in your primary healthcare facilities like your clinics and the like, who can acknowledge and recognize through integrated approaches such as screening, red flag identification, that somebody's in need of enhanced support for their well-being. And then there are community actors who are trained in, for example, basic CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, techniques that can then receive that individual to really support them and improve their general state of well-being, then the likelihood of that individual then degenerating in terms of then the required need for this acute clinical care becomes much, much lower. And for a very, very low cost, you can actually have this enabling environment where actors in the clinical space and the non-clinical space in communities are really, really capacitated and trained to firstly identify when somebody's in need of care, and secondly, provide this basic level care that catches the issues and offers the holistic well-being support so that, depression doesn't become too overwhelming or, mental health deficit becomes extremely acute. Now, this is not in cases of, obviously, highly clinical needs associated with clinical drivers of disease, but it's for things like, your mental well-being, your real sort of kind of community treatable issues that can be really supported in community networks.
And what role can businesses, what role can corporates play? Because, of course, while corporates can't provide care because they're not public health care or clinics or hospitals, I imagine there is a role that they can play with regards to the healthcare of either the communities they operate in or their employees.
Absolutely. So from Anglo American's perspective, we have a large footprint, as you know, over the country. And what we do is we work in partnership with various organizations in our communities, and we pay for access to basic level training for community-based organizations, community partners, community networks, community institutions, identifying specific individuals who are able to be exposed to this training. And then we also have MOUs through our partnerships with clinical partners in communities working with local primary healthcare systems, clinics, etc., the departments of health, so that we can really work to allocate our funding where the need is and fill the gaps, enabling the clinical partners, the clinical cadres, to be able to access, again, training support, additional sort of resources that enables them really to maximize their existing platforms and facilitate this network of referrals into these strengthened community cadres. So it's all about partnership, and it's all about looking for a very, very low cost, how you can invest in the health system, the broader community health system, actually, in order to really support the functioning and the enabling environment and look for where the gaps can be plugged and improve the well-being of communities, ultimately. That's how we look at it.
And in terms of the main model that that Anglo American has used, what can, I guess, other companies learn in terms of that particular, mental health integration program?
So it's all about partnership. And also for us, it's really all about paying on an outcomes basis, because that means that we get the surety that our money is really affecting maximum impact. And also, you know, it's back to this concept of working together with all of the actors in the communities and really working hand in hand with the Department of Health, with the community partners, to make sure that what we're investing in is really what is needed. And looking at it from this very holistic community-wide approach, which is much needed. Not just a project, but the integration is the touch point and the key word here.
Doctor, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We appreciate your time.
An absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. That is Head of Community Health and Wellbeing at Anglo American, Dr. Alex Plowright, speaking to us this morning about the importance of an integrated approach, particularly to healthcare. Today is World Health Day, and we know mental health remains one of the biggest challenges globally. It is a particular challenge in the South African context because of a lack of resources, a severe lack of resources. And so Dr. Plowright was speaking to us about some of the interventions that we can use to try extend access to care in South Africa. What are your ideas, your thoughts on how we can make access to mental health care more accessible in the South African context? Send us your WhatsApps on 0727021702.